Blog Talk Radio.
The following program contains material which may be considered offensive to some listeners and outright disturbing to others. The views, opinions, positions, or strategies expressed in this program are solely the thought property of Art Underground, who accepts no liability for the content of this program or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided. This program will contain strong language, pervasive writing, thematic elements, mild perpitude, and general insanity. Listening to the program may or may not induce and or cause headaches, migraines, difficulty breathing, bleeding of the nose, mild antisocial personality disorder, failing faith in humanity syndrome, temporary blindness, sudden panic attacks, confusion, rapid pulse, dizziness, hissy fits, loss of appetite, and may even induce fits of rage. And while listener discretion is advised, the host is apathetic, unconcerned, and uninterested with any of the above problems that you may experience. We simply could not give less of a shit if we tried to. Enjoy!
There's a storm coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? You damn well better be. This storm here, she ain't nothing like you've ever seen before. So grab hold of your bootstraps and hold on tight. This is gonna be one bumpy damn ride.
Good evening and welcome everybody. This is American Renegade. I'm your host, Art Underground. It is April 18th, 2020. It was a beautiful day. Got a lot done outside today. Working on my property, trying to get things straightened out. I'm so glad we're back to some decent weather where I can actually get out and be productive. And I know a lot of you out there, you know, you're stuck at home, you can't go to work, you can't do whatever you're used to doing. Me, fortunately, there's nothing about any of this stay-at-home order that changes my life or affects me in any way, shape, form, or fashion. The only thing I cannot do right now that I'm used to doing is there's a huddle house, which is kind of like a Waffle House, but it's a huddle house. And it's in town, and I like to go there, you know, once or twice a week, sit and have coffee, talk with the waitresses and the cooks and the manager, whatever. But because of the stay home order, they can't do anything but takeout, and you know, so that kind of ruins that. But hey, you know, I just stay home, make coffee, and I'll whenever they lift this stay home, then I'll be able to go back and have my coffee and chit chat with folks, and. But beyond that, doesn't affect me in any way. I go fishing. I do whatever I want to do. I've made it pretty clear when I was in town that I didn't care about no stay-home orders. I'm going to do what the hell I want to damn do. And if you got a problem with that, we can discuss it. But somebody's like, well, you going to end up going to jail. No, they might try to arrest me, but they ain't going to. But I know how to deal with the cops. I've had years of experience being homeless. I've had a lot of experience dealing with cops, so I don't worry about it. I just go about my business, do whatever I want to do, and if they don't like it, they can, well, use your imagination. Anyway, I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast, and if you want to call in, share opinions, thoughts, this is just a general discussion kind of thing where I'm just going to basically talk, and if somebody calls in, we'll take calls, and the number's 215-383-3876. 215-383-3876. If you want to weigh in on the conversation. So what do we got going on? There's been some discussion lately about who knew what and when did they know it. Well, I've got an article here, and let me drop this down out of the way. And let's close this out because we don't need that no more. Got an article here that came out of the Huffington Post back a couple weeks ago, actually. And headline was Dr. Fauci warned in 2017 of a surprise outbreak during the Trump administration. Really? Seriously? Dr. Anthony Fauci, the U.S. government's top infectious disease specialist, warned in early 2007 that a surprise outbreak would occur during the Trump administration, and he said that more needed to be done to prepare for a pandemic. Quote, "There is no question that there will be a challenge in the coming administration in the arena of infectious disease, pandemic preparedness in the next administration." End quote. That was a speech that he gave. The title was Pandemic Preparedness in the Next Administration, where he said, quote, "There's no question that there'll be a challenge in the coming administration in the arena of infectious disease." And he gave this speech at Georgetown University Medical Center on January 20th, 2017. Let me see, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. It's been 3 years ago he gave this speech. Kind of have to wonder, seriously? Well, here is a news clip.
Now to that breaking news and exclusive. ABC News investigation out this morning reports that the National Center for Medical Intelligence warned the military and the White House late last year about the spread of coronavirus in China. Our senior White House correspondent Cecilia Vega joins us now with the details. Good morning, Cecilia.
Hey, Michael, good morning to you. So it was just yesterday that President Trump said no one had even heard of the virus 2 months ago, but we are now learning that as far back as late November, American military medical investigators overseas sounded the alarm to officials right here at home about a contagion that was sweeping through Wuhan. Those concerns that the virus could be devastating were detailed in a report, and multiple sources have described that report to our team. Now, it's not just that. There were repeated briefings for policymakers across the federal government through December, and by early January, the warnings made it into the president's daily briefing. But it wasn't until late January that President Trump made his first public comments about this virus, saying that he wasn't at all worried about it and that he had it totally under control. Of course, this is now...
Okay, so we have Dr. Fauci in January 2007 actually talking about there would be an infectious disease issue during the Trump administration. And then we have this news article, news broadcast from ABC talking about how they knew in November that there was this virus, this new coronavirus going through Wuhan. But yet they want you to believe, we didn't know anything till February when they announced. Seriously? You know, that kind of reminds me. Let's go back to George Bush Jr. shortly after September 11th when he said no one, at least no one in my administration, would have imagined people flying planes into buildings. But, you know, for like several years prior to that, like every year they have an exercise. You know, it's tied to Able Danger. And, you know, they actually, all through like 3 or 4 years prior to September 11th, they're doing these exercises. And early in the year of 2001, they had these exercises, Vigilant Guardian and a couple other ones, where they were actually the scenario was flying planes into the Twin Towers and the Pentagon. This was the exercise that they were running early 2001, before the actual attack on September 11th. So when I hear these talk, well, nobody, we didn't know anything about this coronavirus till February, but we learned that Dr. Fauci was talking about it in 2017. It kind of like takes you back to the September 11th thing where, well, nobody ever imagined, but yet they're running exercises. How do you say nobody ever thought about it if you're running exercises? Somebody obviously thought about it. I mean, hell, it's right there in the Northwood documents, going back to John Kennedy. You know, where they talked in the Northwood documents about this plane striking buildings and stuff. The cover of the FEMA 2 years in a row. I've got the document somewhere in my files, but there was 2 years where FEMA, the cover of FEMA's emergency magazine, actually showed the Twin Towers in crosshairs. So every time I hear politicians try to claim we didn't know, caca, because now we know the Trump administration was told in 2017 by Dr. Fauci himself that there would be an infectious disease issue. Somebody's lying through their damn teeth. And I think we all know who it is. I don't think it takes a whole lot of imagination to figure out the whole damn crew in D.C. lying through their damn teeth. And I see Flycatch and Vorpalbite in the chat room. Howdy, guys. Glad to have you with us. Again, anybody wants to call in, weigh in, give their thoughts on what we're talking about tonight, 215-383-3876, 215-383-3876. I'm going to continue on here. So now we got Trump coming out, and I was floored by this. I think it was last week when Trump come out talking about the president's power.
Donald Trump thinks he is a king.
When somebody's the president of the United States, the authority is total.
The authority is total.
Total.
As Americans sacrifice to fight the worst public health crisis in a century, our governors and local leaders are taking decisive action to protect their communities and reopen the economy safely. But now President Trump thinks he has absolute power to tell states what to do.
Has any governor agreed that you have the authority to decide when their state...
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do, which is very powerful.
The president has the authority to do what he has the authority to do. How vague is that? You know, but he's coming out talking about the power of the president is total. This is a totalitarian ideology here. What the hell? Catch in the chat room says it's all a hoax, although the virus is real. And the only way to control this virus is exposure. Your immune system will build antibodies, and you are cured. Exactly. And I've been saying this all along on several different broadcasts that I listen to, like on RBN and Govern America and, you know, others, where I've called in and talked to the hosts. And I've said this before. I hate the word herd immunity, but actually it does kind of fit here. You need to actually get sick. I've not had a vaccine in over 30 years, and I've not been sick other than every once in a while, you know, during the seasonal changes, I get a little case of the sniffles, I get a little sore throat, you know, maybe a little swelling in the tonsils, but hell, how many people actually go through that every year? That's really not being sick. I don't call that being sick. That's something I deal with every year, but I never get the flu. Or any of these other disease, you know, issues that other people have to deal with, and I don't do shots. And here's another thing. When we have people like Dr. Fauci and others coming out telling us that we're not, life is never going to go back to normal until we have a vaccine. What the hell? Folks, let me ask you a question. Do you know what a damn vaccine is? Does anybody know what a freaking vaccine is?
Have you had your flu vaccine yet?
You mean there's a vaccine for the flu? Well, hell. Don't sign me up because, you know, I have a natural immunity to it. I live basically in a petri dish. I live like, you know, Grizzly Adams would have lived. You know, I live out in the country. I live alone. I have a dog that I only see like maybe once or twice a week because he's out running the woods and hunting and all that kind of crazy stuff, you know. And so, you know, I live very old-fashioned. I don't have running water. I don't, you know, I compost all of my human waste. I turn it into fertilizer. It takes 2 years to do it, though. But I turn all that into fertilizer. I compost everything. I'm getting ready, hopefully here in the next month or so, I want to start a worm farm. But nothing goes to waste around here, but I live petri dish. I don't wash my hands before I cook my dinner. I don't sterilize my countertops. I don't do any of that crap. But I've lived 33 years of my life homeless. So my body has been allowed to be dirty and develop immune system. That's why you're born with an immune system. Although you need the colostrum that's in your mother's milk to kickstart your immune system. You know, that's really what kickstarts you, because all the antibodies you need are in your mother's milk. But if you're not breastfed, then guess what you don't get, which is probably why you get sick all the time. It's because you don't have that natural kickstart immunity. But I've been able to develop an immune system. I don't worry about it. I'm probably, when it comes to this, I'm calling it the bat flu. You know, pig flu, the bird flu. Well, this is a bat flu. Okay, let's call it what it is. It's a bat flu. I mean, you can say coronavirus all day long, but the fact of the matter is the common cold is a freaking coronavirus, folks. Did you know that? Did you know the common cold is a coronavirus? It's one of the strains of coronavirus. Did you know that the seasonal flu, there are how many different flus do we have every year? You go back to 1918, 1919, with, you know, then they called it the Spanish flu. All right? Today, it's the seasonal flu. And the thing is, once you have a virus like this introduced into a population, you're going to have it forever. Unless you can find a way to eradicate it, it's going to come back every year. It's going to become normal. And like Flycatch was saying, the only solution is let yourself get sick. You live through it, you develop immunity, and you're good. You're good to go. Now, sadly, you know, some people who are going to have respiratory issues, like maybe they got emphysema, or they develop pneumonia, or they're diabetic, or whatever the case may be, because there's underlying conditions. If you look at everybody who's died from this bat flu, there are always underlying conditions like emphysema, asthma, pneumonia, diabetes, obesity. There's always some underlying issue that contributes to it. And that's what's killing the people. It's not the coronavirus that's killing them. It's the underlying issues that can't deal with the coronavirus. That's what's killing them. But if you're healthy like me, and I've got emphysema, folks. I actually have emphysema. I was diagnosed in 2005 with advanced emphysema. It's one of the reasons why I had to quit smoking, because I couldn't freaking breathe. I breathe pretty good now for a guy with emphysema. I also have asthma. But I've got an immune system that actually works. And there's the difference. So what's going to happen with this is it's going to become normal, just like all the other flus that are part of the seasonal flu. And that's what a lot of people don't realize. There are several different strains of the flu, and they all come back at the same time every year. So you never know which flu you got. One year you might have the swine flu. The next year you might have the Spanish flu. Next year you might have this flu. You just don't know. And the test that they give you is just a general overall test. It doesn't tell you what strain of flu you got. All it says is you got the flu. And they have doctors are being told. We have Clark's Credit Chat Late Nights just joined the chat room. Welcome. That's a new one I've never seen before, but welcome to the broadcast. So, you know, we've got these doctors, they're being told if someone dies, even if it's because of pneumonia, if they tested positive for the flu, listed as coronavirus death, a death due to coronavirus. Doesn't matter that they had pneumonia. Doesn't matter that they had advanced cancer. So the numbers are not right. They're blowing the numbers out to make it sound like it's a hell of a lot worse than it is. It's absolutely insane what they're doing. I'm going to pull up here. I found this, some really cool websites that actually give some really good numbers. Okay, that's not the one I was looking for. I think this is the one I was looking. No, that's not it. That's the same one, stupid. Okay, here's the one I'm looking for. I want to give you some numbers, and I'm going to use. You can find worldometers.info/coronavirus. That's the one that I use. It gives you the global numbers, and then further down it gets into the countries. And when it gets into the countries, it gives you a full listing: total cases, new cases, total deaths, new deaths, total recovered, active cases, serious, critical, total cases per million in population, deaths per million in population, and then it gets into total tests and tests per 1 million people in population. So it actually breaks it down by nation and gives you the numbers. And I want to use that because those numbers are really good numbers, and they do coincide with the CDC's numbers. But then you've got the cdc.gov/flu/about/burden/index.html, and you have to scroll down a little bit, and it will give you by year, like season 2010 to 2011, 21 million people tested symptomatic. There were 10 million people actually had medical visits, 290,000 were hospitalized, and 37,000 deaths. Now, that was for the season of 2010 to 2011. And it goes by season, year after year after year, and then it gets down to 2017, 2018. And I want to compare the numbers, all right? Vorpal Bite says Irish flu. What's good for the Irish flu? Getting good and drunk the night before. I like that. That's funny. Okay, so anyway, I want to use these numbers from both a Worldometer and the CDC, and I want to I want to show you the comparison of what we're seeing here with this whole flu thing. Because again, remember, when they test, it's just a general test. All it tells is you've got a flu. It doesn't really break it down to what strain you've got. Okay, so. But they're chalking them all up to coronavirus, COVID-19. They're putting them all COVID-19 because they need the numbers to sound really scary. But let's look at, first let's go to, right now in the United States, total cases, okay? And that's right now as of, because they, Worldometers actually updates every morning right about 11 o'clock, right about 11 a.m. Is when they, when they update the numbers, because they keep real good track. They're doing a great job of keeping track of the numbers. The United States still leads the world. So far in the world, we have 2,330,937 confirmed cases worldwide. Well, here in the United States, we are in the lead with 738,830 cases. Now, keep in mind, the flu season, and this is what a lot of people aren't really paying attention to. The flu season begins right about end of October, first part of November, when we start getting that seasonal change and we start getting into cooler temperatures, because the flu viruses, all of them, every one of them, like cooler weather. And the colder it gets, the more active they get. And so we are now coming in, we are leaving the spring weather where we have that nice, cool spring temperatures, and we're moving into warmer temperatures. Now, the peak of the flu season, I actually did some research on this. The peak of the flu season generally begin right around in February. That's when it peaks. That's when they start seeing the highest number of flu cases, is right around February, because January and February are like your coldest months. For some reason, I don't. I guess that's like the mid part of the winter spring conversion there, where you're in the deep heart of the winter season, where it's really cold, and the flu season just goes into top gear. So right now we are coming because flu season ends. Do you know when flu season really peters out? The end of May, the end of April, first part of March. That's when the flu season starts to really peter out and you don't hear a whole lot of cases because it's getting warmer. And these various coronaviruses don't like warmer temperatures. Think about when was the last time you caught a cold in the middle of the summer? You don't. Not really. Why? Because the cold is the common cold is a coronavirus. It's one of the strains of coronavirus. And it doesn't like warm temperatures. No coronavirus likes warm temperatures. So we're coming right at we are right now at the very end of the flu season. And here in about a couple more weeks, we'll be out of flu season. And we should hopefully start seeing these numbers drop. But right now, as of 11 o'clock this morning, we had 738,830 confirmed cases of flu. I'm not saying coronavirus COVID-19 because it's an overall test. They're not testing for specific strain. They're just doing the general test. Yeah, you got the flu. Boom. It's coronavirus. It's COVID-19. That's how they work it. Okay, so almost 738,830 cases right now. In 2018, there were 45 million cases, confirmed cases of the flu. 45 million in the 2017-2018 season. In the 2018-2019 season, there were 35,520,883. Well, hell. 738,000, that's a far cry from 45 million. As far as medical visits in 2017-2018, there were 21 million. Okay? Still a far cry. Because active cases, 631,531, that's as of today. And serious critical, 13,551. Okay? For hospitalizations, now this would be the critical, all right? Right now, the critical hospitalizations, because the active cases, that would be the medical visits. In 2017-2018, there were 21 million. 2019, there were 16.5 million. All right? And that was just medical visits. So when we get serious critical, that's hospitalization. Right now, there are, as of 11 o'clock this morning, 13,551 critical hospitalized cases. Well, in 2017-2018, there were 801,000. 13,000 versus 800,000. Yeah. In 2018-2019, there were 490,000. A little over that, but we're just going to round it off. 490,000. Well, still 13,500 is a far cry from 490,000. Now, what about deaths? And this is the real number we need to be looking at. As far as deaths go, right now, total deaths in the United States, 39,014. In 2017-2018, there were 61,000 deaths. So in 2017-2018, there were twice as many deaths as we got right now. In 2018-2019, there were 34,157 deaths due to the flu. So right now we have a little bit over the 2018-2019 season. But it's still running relatively even as far as deaths go. But the confirmed cases, oh my God, we're not even close. Not even close. And I like numbers because numbers tell it all. And I had somebody, earlier this morning, wanted to call in one of the broadcasts I listened to, the alternative media with Farron Schoaf. And I was giving these numbers out, and somebody called in after me and wanted to poo-poo all the, you can't go by the numbers, these people lie, blah, 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 blah. Here's the point. The point is I'm using their numbers. Because remember, we got Dr. Fauci out there running his mouth about all this craziness. And he seems to be the one leading the charge of how we're going to deal with this. Calling all the shots. Okay? If you want to discredit them, you have to use their numbers. And their numbers clearly show that what we are seeing right now is no different, and in many cases, not nearly as bad as previous years before this COVID-19 ever came out. This is what people aren't paying attention to. It's just absolute freaking insanity. Now, let me see if I can... I got a clip. I got a couple clips. First one I want to play goes to Dr. Fauci. And talking about basically a certificate of immunity is what they're calling it. And it's almost laughable to think that they would actually think that this is like a good idea. I am just stunned by this, but here they are. This is a news. This is CNN. I don't know. It's a CNN broadcast. I don't know the name of the broadcast, but Dr. Fauci is being asked about certificates of immunity.
Mm-hmm. Those kinds of people.
Can you imagine a time where Americans carry certificates of immunity?
You know, that's possible. I mean, it's one of those things that we talk about when we want to make sure that we know who the vulnerable people are and not. This is something that's being discussed. I think it might actually have some merit under certain circumstances.
Grabbing the multimedia marketplace.
So, well, it's possible. I mean, can you imagine? You whether you're driving your car or you're walking down the street or whatever, a cop comes up and says, let me see your certificate of immunity, sir. Well, what if you don't have one? You know, papers, please, comrade. It's just absolute insanity. And, you know, when we start talking about something like a certificate of immunity and, you know, all of this kind of crap, you know, it makes me think, you know, our rights... The First Amendment, and I said this morning on I believe it was Govern America with Darren Schoaf and I'm sorry, with Darren Weeks and Vicki Davis on governamerica.com, where I actually called in and I actually said that from what I'm seeing, First Amendment, the right to freedom of the press, the right to freedom of speech, the right to peaceably assemble, the right to gather, the right to protest, even your right to practice your religion. The entire First Amendment is under assault. Seriously. This could not be allowed. And, you know, when then we have this New Jersey governor. What the hell's his damn name? I got it here. Let me see. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy. I was reading an article on Mediate.com just a couple days ago. This article came out on the 15th, where New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy, Democrat, said, well, I'll let you hear for yourself.
So you made that decision, and as I noted before, 15 congregants at a synagogue in New Jersey were arrested and charged for being in a synagogue together. Now, the Bill of Rights, as you well know, protects Americans' right, enshrines their right to practice their religion as they see fit and to congregate together, to assemble peacefully. By what authority did you nullify the Bill of Rights in issuing this order? How do you have the power to do that?
That's above my pay grade, Tucker. So I wasn't thinking of the Bill of Rights when we did this.
Now, did you hear that? But, you know, this synagogue, 15 people arrested, and Tucker Carlson is asking Governor Murphy of New Jersey, by what authority, you know, what authority did you have to eviscerate, nullify, bend, whatever you want to call it, the Bill of Rights? In this case specifically, you know, and Tucker Carlson didn't say this, but I'm going to add it in. In this case specifically, the First Amendment and the right to gather and the right to practice your religion. Governor, what authority did you have to do that, to nullify, to eviscerate the natural rights of man?
Well, that's a little above my pay grade. I wasn't thinking about the Bill of Rights when I did that.
You know, it kind of puts me in mind of Representative James Clyburn. You remember him? I've talked about him before on this broadcast. And, you know, here he is talking about, and this was several years ago, and we're talking about Representative James Clyburn, Democrat out of South Carolina. Folks in South Carolina need to wake the hell up. But here's what he said in an interview about the Bill of Rights.
You know what? I really believe sincerely the climate that we're in today, if the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the United States Constitution, were put before the public today, I'm not too sure that we will hold on to the Bill of Rights, especially when I...
You hear that? I'm not sure we'd hold on to the Bill of Rights. I'm going to play that again because, you know, and there's more to come after that, but I just want to make it clear that this is a elected official sent to Congress, to the House of Representatives, to represent the people of South Carolina in his district, and he's talking about the Bill of Rights were to come up in platform or to be voted on.
You know what? I really believe sincerely the climate that we're in today, if the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments of the United States Constitution, were put before the public today, I'm not too sure that we will hold on to the Bill of Rights, especially when I see what people are doing with the Second Amendment. I'm not telling what they would do with the First Amendment.
You really
Amendment
believe that? That's well a startling statement. You believe that?
Absolutely. There will be a strong support against the Bill of Rights. Go through the Bill of Rights, and I tell you, I run into people every day who would like to see so much of those guarantees uprooted.
There would be strong support against the Bill of Rights. I hear people all the time talking about get rid of the First Amendments 1 through 10. This is the kind of people that you elect, that you people in South Carolina elect? Are you kidding? Seriously? What in the hell are you thinking? I don't get it. And when I hear talk like that, it makes me think of, well, Donald Trump.
Or might take the firearms first and then go to court, because that's another system. Because a lot of times by the time you go to court, it takes so long to go to court to get the due process procedures, I like taking the guns early, like in this crazy man's case that just took place in Florida.
I like taking the guns early. Let's take the guns first, and then we'll worry about due process. Take the guns first, and then we'll go to court. An absolute evisceration, violation, infringement, call it what you want, on the right to keep and bear arms. I want to remind you of Miranda versus Arizona, quote, where rights are concerned, there can be no rulemaking nor legislation which would abrogate them, end quote. Comes directly from the Supreme Court ruling on Miranda versus Arizona. In the Chicago Motor Coach case that went before the Supreme Court back some many years ago, the Supreme Court clearly stated that you cannot require licensing, registrations, and restrictions on any right. You cannot convert a right into a privilege by mandating licenses and permits. Yet every day people are going out and getting licenses and permits, willingly waiving their rights in exchange for privileges. And then you wonder why, you know, these people are dictating your life to you. You let them do it. This is nuts. Then we've got, or, you know, now, oh, now we've got AOC coming out talking about, not AOC, Ilhan Omar. She's coming out. She's putting some kind of bill or something together to nullify or cancel all mortgages and rent payments, meaning if you have a mortgage, you don't have to pay it. If you rent, you don't own your property, you rent, you don't have to pay your rent, because we're dealing with tough times. So these people aren't able to go to work so they can make the money to pay their rent. But the guy that owns the house, you know, my mom was in real estate for a while, and she owned several houses. This was when I was a teenager. And she rented them out. Now, if you have somebody that owns several houses, they're in real estate, and they rent these houses out, all of a sudden, nobody has to pay their rent. Well, now he has no income, so he can't buy food to support his family. This is crazy. There is no reason for any of this. If people were smart, they'd go out. They you know, that's why I love what I'm seeing in Michigan and Idaho and other states where they're going out, they're protesting, they're marching on the state capitals, waving signs and flags. I've seen the videos. Absolutely beautiful. Saying, hell damn no. We need to see more of that. I'd love to see that here in my state. But unfortunately, I think the people are just too chicken shit to get off their asses and go out and do something. I get out, I take my truck, I go and do what the hell I want to damn do, and I stand right in public when people are talking about, well, we got to do this, kiss my ass. I've stood in town and publicly told the governor, or, well, I didn't tell him face to face, but I clearly stated in front of a whole heap of people exactly what I thought about the stay-home order and made it clear that I will not comply. Kiss my ass. This is going to keep on. Oh, yeah, now we got Bernie Sanders and others. We want a $200 a month or $2,000 a month payment to folks. I said when they started this corona relief shit with this $1,200 and whatever per I've still not seen my check. Where's my check? Give me $1,200. Where's my check? But I said then that this is going to open the door for them to try to push through something with universal pay, like what
Andrew Yang wanted. He wanted $1,000 a month. But we got Bernie Sanders coming out. Oh, no, we need to do $2,000 a month. There's your universal pay, folks. They're actually trying to do this. They're trying to do this. Don't you get it? I don't understand what it's going to take for people to figure this out. Socialism is at our front door. And they're using this coronavirus issue to do it, pulling out all the stops. They are blowing this whole coronavirus bat flu bullshit. They're pumping it up, making it sound like it's something absolutely terrible. And they're using it as the excuse to bring in their socialist policies. And the vast majority of the American people do not see it. And I don't know why in the hell, with the thousands of people that are talking about this across the country, why the rest of folks ain't getting it figured out. I'm seeing all kinds of videos and stuff on YouTube and BitChute and other platforms talking about this. But the vast majority of the people still seem to be sleeping. I thought when we started seeing the protests in Virginia over the Second Amendment, I thought maybe we were beginning to see an uprising, people pushing back, but it died out. And now we got this. The whole Second Amendment thing that was started in Virginia got swept under the rug because of this bat flu bullshit. I am so over this crap. I'm serious. This ain't doing nothing but pissing me off. And then we've got, how many states now are releasing inmates? Well, he's got emphysema, so we got to cut him loose. He's got asthma, so we got to cut him loose. He's got this, we got to cut him loose. We had one. This ain't happening just in Florida, but NBC News actually did an article on April 15th. Where a Florida man by the name of Edward Williams, 26, of Tampa, was arrested Monday and facing charges of second-degree murder, gun possession, violently resisting an officer, drug possession, and paraphernalia possession. Well, here's the catch. He had been released from jail just the day before. So they released him from the Hillsborough County Jail, and I've been in the Hillsborough County Jail, so I know what it's like in there. Of course, it was back in like the 90s or some shit like that. But they released him for coronavirus issues, fearing that, because he's in a high-risk group. 26 years old, they cut him loose. The next day, he gets arrested for second-degree murder, gun possession, violent resistance of officer, drug possession, paraphernalia possession. How many other states are having this issue, releasing inmates just to turn around, just for them to turn around and kind of like the illegal immigrants that, they get released from jail and then they kill somebody. Kind of reminds you of Molly Tibbetts, don't it? Just one example. This whole thing is bullshit. Every damn bit of it. Pure bullshit. People, I don't know what it's going to take to get people, to stand up and say no. Because this is going to happen. I actually heard earlier today, I heard reports of people that are out. People who actually, they've been they call it furlough from work. They've been laid off. Let's call it what it is. They've been laid off. They ain't been furloughed. They've been laid off. But I actually heard reports this morning on various broadcasts talking about a lot of people are now out begging because they don't have food to feed their families. And they're out begging. And they're going to soup kitchens and food banks and all this kind of crap, stuff that they've never done in their life, and they're now doing it. Kind of puts me in the mind of Bernie Sanders. Yeah, do you remember?
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
Yeah, bread lines aren't quite so bad. Folks, we are headed for another. What we're headed for? We've got economists coming out. Harry Dent. This is a guy. All he does, and you can look him up. Harry Dent, D-E-N-T. Harry Dent, author of a couple different books. And what he does is he studies economy primarily looking at depressions. We've already had three depressions here in the United States. The last one was began in 1929 and really kicked off in 1930, 1931, and hit its peak right about 1933, where it began to phase out. But that was the last one. Then we had the housing bubble in 2008. Now we've got economists and others like Harry Dent who are telling us we are right now, and Harry Dent believes, and he's been predicting economic the economy for several years, and he's been dead on everything he said. And he has said that he believes if things continue on their current path, we will hit depression status this year, 2020. And this time, it's going to make the Great Depression of the 30s look like a walk in the park, because all currencies are tied to the U.S. dollar. And if the U.S. economy collapses, the U.S. dollar collapses, and it will take the global economies with it. Every country will suffer. And we will have bread lines. Well, you know, Bernie Sanders says, well, bread lines aren't so bad.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes American journalists talk about how bad a country is because people are lining up for food. That's a good thing. In other countries, people don't line up for food. The rich get the food and the poor starve to death.
It's a good thing that people line up for food.
Just, you know, sometimes it's this kind of garbage that just makes me violently ill to think that a nation, a country like the United States of America, could come to this point. If you had told me 10, 15 years ago that we would be going through this kind of bullshit, I would have laughed at you. I'd have called you a nut job. Even though, you know, I was talking about Waco and Ruby Ridge and Oklahoma City bombing of the Alfred P. Murrow building and, you know, all the way up to September 11th and talking about all of that stuff. But I never thought that people would be so stupid as to fall for this bullshit. How damn stupid are the American people to fall for this? Hoping and praying to see people in my area standing up and saying, hell no, but nobody wants to do it. Everybody's scared. Yeah, they'll sit in the corner and they'll bitch about it. I hear them bitching in quiet, you know, but they won't get out in public and talk about it. I'm out there publicly trying to talk to people, and people are like, no, I don't want to talk about that. We don't talk about those kind of things. You chicken shit cowards. Pissing me off. I don't know what it's going to take. Tomorrow, 7 p.m., Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. Go to podcasts. Find that green t-shirt that says, I find your lack of ammo disturbing. American Renegade with Art Underground. Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas Are Bulletproof Radio. 7 p.m. Alan, I don't know his last name, but Alan, co-host of the Republic of Texas Radio, heard every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. He will be my guest for the first 2 hours. And we'll be talking about this kind of stuff. And Alan knows what he's talking about. He's a very, very intelligent man. So tune in tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern. Ideas are Bulletproof Radio. The channel, Spreaker.com. The channel is Ideas are Bulletproof Radio. Podcast, American Renegade. Connect with me, oneamericanrenegade@gmail.com. Or on Skype, American Renegade, two words. Look for the red and white stripe with the rattlesnake. That'll be me. Till next time, I want to thank everybody for joining me this evening. Hope it's been informative and enlightening. Maybe you got a laugh out of me getting all pissed off and ranting and raving. I don't know. But I want to thank y'all for joining me this evening. Till next time, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. And remember, no matter what they say, no matter what they do, no matter how hard they try to intimidate you, don't ever be afraid to stand up. Speak out and let your voice be heard. I'm Art Underground. This is American Renegade. Be safe out there.
You're gonna make it, you're free.